Hello, 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 everybody. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. This is the Erin Strayer Show. We are going to be talking about, I want to ask you really, really quick, is it's really, really hard when we have a project that is looming and to be able to define that and explain that to somebody else. It's tough to plan it. It's super tough to lay it out and see it all like on like a graph. It's really hard to frame it up for somebody else to get your idea and your message. And then to mock that up and actually have something to present to go forward, all of that just kind of really brings all this overwhelm and this massive, ugh, right? Like, and then you throw in, oh my gosh, I gotta do some SEO and I gotta do the development and the launch and oh my gosh, all of that stuff just really comes into play and causes the overwhelm, which is why I have our guest on today. And you're going to be in luck because this is her wheelhouse of doing these massive projects as well as some little ones and making sure that you are planned out doing the things in order to make sure all those T's are crossed and those I's are dotted. You guys, this is the Erin Strayer Show. Stick around because I cannot wait for you to meet my guest today. She's amazing. But if you guys are watching from any other platform other than the Erin Strayer Show, there's a link right above you in the comments. Go ahead and click that. Come on over here. Say hi to us. Let us know that you're here. We'll be able to see you and see your comments and give you a little shout out. So come on over here and say hi to us. And I'm Erin Strayer. I help recovering corporates and entrepreneurs to get beyond the basics of business because most of them are indecisive. They're held hostage by their own fear, kind of like what we're going to talk about today. And honestly, they're complacent, which a lot of people become complacent when they get in the overwhelm of doing all the things. So I help them get past that. I can't do that. What's standing in the way and what's my next step? And I don't really know what's next. So bottom line, I help them get executive level accountability, keep them on track so that they and their business gets the attention it deserves. So can you imagine somebody that is a website geek du jour extraordinaire, like list of credentials behind her name a mile long that all go to tech. And she is like a fitness instructor and a self-proclaimed yogi. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love this girl. Like I love everything about her and I can't wait for you to meet her. She's coming up right now. It's Kelly Coulter. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. So the minute you came up, the dogs went nuts. Did you hear that?
They love me.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. I love pups. Yeah, you just let them bark. They're all good. They can be on camera.
Thank you.
Yeah, have them come in. Have the kitties come in. It doesn't matter. It's all good. It's all good. So, like, this is your jam. Like, you love everything about every one of these massive moving pieces inside project development, website development, laying it out, putting it in front, like big, big, big projects, and then down to the little people like me.
So I've been doing websites since 1999, which means back in the day when I first graduated from college, you did a little website that kind of looked like the business card and that was it. And then they got bigger and bigger and, you know, more data driven, more moving parts. And as that happened, I became the leader of website teams and the websites got bigger. And so the last two really big projects I did, I led the team at Pure Fishing, which is this company that was owned by Jarden, and now it's owned by an even bigger company than Jarden. And they had all of these websites that were created by the IT at a little mom and pop fishing company. And so we brought those all into a big platform, huge project, international company, household names like Shakespeare, Penn Reels, Abby Garcia. If your husband fishes, you've got one of those in your garage.
We have a lot of those names in our garage.
If you've ever taken your grandchildren fishing, you went to Walmart and you bought them the Finding Nemo Shakespeare rod.
A little, yep, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and that it's so funny because I was prepping for today and I was just making sure in my head what was going on and I'm like, did I read that right? I'm like, babe, check out what she did. He's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, the guys get excited about it.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I swear to God, we have stock in like Shakespeare and Penn and all, you know, those, and we have all their, I mean, I couldn't even tell you how many downriggers and reels for like the specialty fishing and that. I don't know, I can't even talk right when it comes to that, but I know that we have them. Yes. So you took and you oversaw that project with the fishing gear and like combined it all into one, made massive e-commerce space for all of them to like.
Yeah, like, we took it and we put it on Drupal so that everybody was on the same platform, and we made it so that people could buy from the websites, so they couldn't buy from the websites before.
And like that's a massive project. That's a massive undertaking. Every single one of their pieces, right? Like every single thing that they produce in those companies, and now it's all online.
Yes, yes, yes.
And merging it all in all. Ugh.
And they've done a lot since I left. So that was a while back. My next project was with a large library system. The library system here in Columbia, South Carolina, where I live, they've won National Library of the Year 2 times. It's a really forward-thinking, great organization. 400 employees, a lot of them massively educated, super intelligent librarians. And we created this website, which did something a lot of libraries were trying to do. It brought all of these different information systems together so you could search them in one search. And so we were the first library system to be able to do that. And that was huge, a lot of moving parts and a lot of opinions, because you've got a lot of really, really educated, very passionate people. So that's when I really started kind of thinking about the process for large websites and how do you manage that throughout an organization, and how do you keep stakeholders involved and make sure that you've got buy-in, because all of those things were huge. It wasn't just developing the websites. There was a lot of interpersonal stuff that went along.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because that's so important too, when you get into those bigger projects like that, is the stakeholders, is the communication between all of the people that need to be involved also, not necessarily the parts that are moving, but the communication between the people, and to have that pivotal person and that like lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, So like the library thing intrigues me a lot too. 400 employees in that library system, and now your system has been like it's gone outside of your area. Yeah.
So yeah, that website is still held up as kind of an example of what user experience should be for a library website. So if you've ever interacted with your own local library, mm-hmm. A lot of times you don't even know that they have a resource until you know. So you're searching the library website, and you might search Huck Finn, and maybe you'll get a book, but you don't know that it's a downloadable, and that there are these research articles that have been written that you have access to, and that there are all these other things that you could interact with, because in order to get the research article, you would have had to go search the research database, and in order to get the downloadable, you would have had to search the downloadable database. And so taking all those things was such a job, and it was something that people just weren't able to do. And when we came along, I started pushing. A lot of it had to do with the vendors, and I started pushing the vendors and saying, you have to let us search this from our website, not from your website. And so
interesting.
That was a lot of it too. And that's something I haven't even thought about for a long time. But yeah, a lot of it was working with vendors and getting them to change the way they were doing things a little bit.
Yeah, and that's a big issue all in itself too, right? Is saying, hey, there's an opportunity to do this better, more efficient. Make that user experience, like you said, more entertaining, keep them on our site longer, keep them interacting
mm-hmm.
more than they are now. Yeah.
And we all use third-party vendors. So it's important with more than just a library website. You know, a lot of the spas and salons that I work with are either using Booker or MindBody. And when you click book an appointment online, it takes them to a different website.
Right.
Well, how much better is that experience when you stay on the website and book it right from a little, you don't know that you're in a separate window, but in a little separate window, but within the same website.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't feel like you're leaving.
Yes.
And you're like, oh man, where am I going now? Is it going to be a safe site? Then I've got to put my information in over there.
And then maybe a chain of spas or salons is going to have a whole different set of requirements. So they're going to want to control that user experience at the end. So maybe somebody books an appointment and then they want to present a referral program or something like that. And so it even becomes more important that the vendor and the spa are working together to get the functionality out of that they need.
Yeah. And that's so important. And I know that there's probably like a, you know, when you're approaching bringing on another project, mm-hmm. what's that look like? What does that, you know, like if I was to come to you with a project and say, Kelly, let's have this conversation. Like, where do you start?
So I just did a post actually, and I did a downloadable and I made a page for the Erin Strayer Show. So if you go to kellycoulter.com/Erin Strayer, you can do it with a dash or without a dash. It'll work. You'll get a page where you can download this guide that I've made. And I called it the Marketing Pros Guide to Managing a Website Redesign. And I outlined 6 steps. And so the first step would be identifying project leadership. And that would be the person within the organization that's going to lead the project. The person that's going to hold the purse strings. So that might be the project lead, or it might be someone right above the project lead. And then all of the different stakeholders within the organization, you know, which teams really have something that they're either going to be asked for or asked to do or both. In the post, I gave an example that IT might be asked for some things. They might be asked to consult on hosting or some different things like that. Marketing is going to be asked for a lot. They're going to be asked to write copy and those sort of things. And customer service is going to be asked for different things. So all of those are stakeholders. There are also other stakeholders within the organization, depending on how big the organization gets, depending on what your specific goals are and what your requirements are. So identifying all those parties is the first step. And I may be involved at that point or I may not. The next step is creating a planning document. And I think by then you really want to start thinking about your outside vendors, who you're going to get to help, who you're going to get to help you lead this project, and who's going to write the code and do the graphics and all of that. I'm actually this really super geeky person that loves the planning documents.
I think that most geeky people like you, that's their probably favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
It's the planning or the coding of it, one or the other, don't you think?
And for most marketers, it sounds like their perfect nightmare because
right.
it's so abstract. And you're really taking something that only lives in here and you're giving it a physical form. And that is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, and it's tough, and it's neat that you can be that kind of I would call that an abstract thinker. What you do is because you can take that and put it into,
mm-hmm.
you can bring it into being, basically,
I graduated from college as a studio art major.
Really?
And my dean used to always say that he advises art students to put on their resume that they are problem solvers, because you are faced with a white canvas, a blank canvas, and you're given some sort of objective, make, you know, a nude or a landscape or whatever, and you have to pull this landscape out of nothing and make it real. And that's what I've continued to do in my career. I never pick up a paintbrush anymore.
But you make beautiful, you have a beautiful outcome out of a blank canvas still.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, your art's just in a different, you don't have a paintbrush, you got a keyboard.
Yes.
And a whole lot of skills.